My spiritual director has a most inconvenient and exasperating practice. Often when we are meeting, reviewing the course of my life as it has run for the past month, and looking at what might be ahead, he asks the same question, time after time. You would think that after engaging in conversation with George for a while that I might see it coming, but I rarely, if ever, do. And so this past month, when discussing the changes that this parish is in the midst of, he asked the question that he always asks, what does God want for all souls? Almost every time that he asks this question about what God wants for me and for others, I laugh. I laugh because it is so obvious and so fundamental, and yet somehow I forget it. Now, there are some underlying assumptions behind his question that might be helpful to unpack this morning. One is that there is a God, a being, a force, a reality present in this life. Another is that this same God wishes to be in relationship with us. Now, this is different from the famous watchmaker God favored by many of the disciples of the Enlightenment, some of them founders of this country. You may remember the description of this divine understanding running something like this. There is a God who has created all things, set the course of this process, wound the watch, as it were, and then stepped aside to let it run. But asking this question of what God wants for people, for you and for me, this question makes a claim that God wishes to be in relationship with the created, doesn't want to just leave us alone to let it go. And last but not least, George's question also assumes that, like all relationships bound by love, in this relationship, God has wishes for us, desires for us even. And so the next question that we spend our time exploring is, what are those wishes or desires? What does God want for us? Our gospel this morning inhabits a time and a place that is so foreign for us as to be nearly inaccessible. And so first, some background. In the culture of first century Palestine, it was not uncommon to see the work of angels or, depending on the culture, the work of the gods in the workings of the natural world. So in this case, right, where by the pools of one of the gates of the city of Jerusalem, the Sheep Gate, and there are these pools that get stirred up, right, perhaps by an underground stream that feeds them. And whenever these pools get stirred up, those who were sick would attempt to enter the waters first so that they could be healed, touched by whatever divine being was stirring this water. And if they could not enter the waters, those connected with them would assist them. But in this case, we hear about a man who we are told has been ill for 38 years. Something, perhaps many things, has been preventing him from entering these waters to be healed. Not only could he not get to the waters in time, but, and this is central to this story, but he has no one who will help him to put him in the pool. And so into this scene steps Jesus. And after seeing the man by the gate near these pools, Jesus asks a most uncomfortable question. What is that question? Do you want to be made well? Do you want to be made well? Okay, just a little bit more of the background. As scholars have researched the assumptions and expectations of the era that we're hearing about and the assumptions around healing, a critical difference has emerged. Whereas in our Western medical mindset, we understand sickness to be simply biomedical, right? In this time and in this place, the chief challenge was that the sick person, because of the sickness, they were removed from the social web that supported and indeed defined them. This was not simply about removing or a disease or returning a body part to its function. Sickness was also, and even more importantly, about a breach in relationship, a state of dislocated being. And so truly, restoration to a proper place and sense of value within the community was essential to becoming well. And so this man, who for nearly four decades had been struggling on his own, it's pretty clear that he has no connection to community. For whatever has taken place with his body and his affliction is unknown to us, one of the chief illnesses for him is that of separation. And so Jesus asks, "Do you want to be made well?" At this time, I feel it's important to address a tension that is present in this text around sin and sickness. Because for millennia, people of faith have struggled with this connection. Is it because of sin that sickness strikes? Right? You all encountered this before, maybe? And the kinds of questions which follow this line are as follows. What kind of a life is that person leading? What are their parents like again? Right? Unfortunately, I have the feeling that many of us here today know someone who, while they're in the depths of their despair, have been blamed for their sickness by a supposedly well-meaning follower of Christ. If only you had prayed harder. If only you had more faith. These insinuations actually serve to further alienate and to deform those already living in darkness. And these insinuations are wrong. For this is actually the first of two similar healing stories in the Gospel of John. And in the second story in John chapter 9, when Jesus is asked by his disciples about a man who had been blind since birth, Jesus profoundly severs the connection between sin and suffering by saying this: "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him." Fundamentally, suffering is not what God wants for the beloved. While it may be allowed, and that's a topic for another sermon, It is not God's will to punish us for misdeeds by afflicting us with sickness. This is not how God's love, God's very self, is made known. And I believe that God's wish for us actually is found in the question that Jesus asks the man who has been ill for 38 years. Do you want to be made well? It is startling in its simplicity and almost infuriating in its assumption. For who doesn't want to be made well? My guess is more of us than we might care to admit. Because that would mean we would have to admit that things weren't peachy keen to begin with. And yet, friends, this is what God wishes for us to be made well, for us to be made whole, to be connected with all those around us. But I, for one, do not always remember that. For I find it easier, at least in the short term, to go my own way. In my Pathfinder article this past week, I offered a window into my own practices of overfunctioning and reaping to the edges of my fields. And in the course of going my way, well, sometimes it takes a while before I realize that I'm no longer in right relationship with the people around me. But I've chosen my path, and so I stick to it. And then the signposts on the way get to be fewer and farther in between. And then the way forward is not clear at all. And before I know it, I find myself with that Jedi Knight of a Jesuit, and he's asking me that question again. What does God want for you? Or, what does God want for all souls? Friends, it really does seem to be an auspicious time for the body of believers called All Souls Parish. We are attempting to follow a call from God, and as part of that call, we are attempting to answer this question: what does God want for all souls? Well, I believe it is something like what Jesus offers this man. For alongside this healing from disease, Jesus also cures this man's illness. The illness of separation from his community, his connection to those who make him whole. And this is where I put my trust for who we are becoming. Imagine for a moment if this place, this web of relatedness, if this place was known to be a place of healing, of restoration. Imagine if the people in this parish, if we all saw that this is what we do when we open our hearts to all, becoming hands and feet, eyes and ears of the love divine. So that when we open these doors here at Cedar and Spruce on Sunday mornings, and these parish hall doors on Wednesday evenings, when we open these doors for lunch on Thursdays and for every soup supper, when we do this for those who have been cast off or cast out, so that we will know that all are welcomed here. And all will be drawn deep into this family. That this is a place where if you could not reach the waters themselves, that others would be here to carry you. And that this could be the place where when you could not rise, when these waters were stirred, that you could actually trust others enough to allow them to carry you. And now imagine if in our lives, when we come across those who are sick and tired, who are worn down by the cruelty of this world, imagine asking them too, if they want to be made well, made whole. Imagine what an invitation to join us in this place of restoration might be like. Tell me you don't know just one person like this. I have to believe, given the changes and chances of this life, that we all do. For friends, even if we have been laying beside the waters for 38 years, I believe in the depths of our being that we all want to be connected. And so I have a request. In the silence that soon will follow, open yourself up to who that person might be. For we all want to be made whole. Sometimes we just need to be reminded and ask the right question yet again.